Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning. Welcome in, everybody.
Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging with you here on a beautiful Wednesday morning. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We did get mandatory minicamps underway yesterday. A full attendance, 100%. Teachers used to pray for those days. You used to get presents on those days in school when it was like a week of perfect attendance. Beautiful. Some injuries, but good news on that, and maybe why we won't spend too much time on it. McDermott seemed to indicate none of them are going to carry into training camp, including Joey Bosa, who I saw some videos about him running around. So looks a lot better. But, of course, with it being 100% attendance, does mean James Cook, of course, was there. We knew that at around this time yesterday, a little bit after. But along with that, and we talked to Derek with Sal Capaccio yesterday about it, we didn't know what his participation would be.
Right. And guess what?
Turns out it was the whole thing.
Once again, I was mostly right.
Were you 100%? Did you think he was going to participate? I thought he would
just
hang out.
I was kind of like, he might show up and just not do anything, but be in meetings, everything like that. But however, I did put my money where my mouth was on that sort of thing. There was a friendly wager made with one Owen across the hallway
poor,
there.
Poor Owen's been here less than a year. He already took his money. That's rough.
Yes.
That's rough.
But it was friendly.
It was very friendly. By the third bet that he loses, it stops being friendly.
Well, hang on. He tried doing like the I got favored odds.
Yeah.
He was like, I'll give you 15, you'd give me 10. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to take the 10.
We did discover what the push would have been. The push would have been if he showed up and did nothing.
Correct.
That would have been the push.
But yesterday, sitting down knowing I don't have to give anyone money is
right.
Great.
At the worst,
I keep my money. I'm like James Cook. I like my money.
And yeah, he did. What was funny, I was with Sal. I didn't know if Cook would speak.
Right.
I mean, I'd made the jokes that, oh no, he's here just to pull Trey Hendrickson. He's going to blast the Bills with the media. I never really thought that was going to happen, but it was the thought that came to my head. He did, though, speak with the media.
Right.
And that's something we don't often hear. We don't hear from Cook all that much. He's not Dion. He's not Josh. He's not Matt Milano either on the other side, but we don't hear from him much. But I liked how candid he was about, like, I don't really want to get fined. Like, that,
right.
That's really what it was.
It's quite frankly, it'll cost me money. I'm good.
He did mention, though, he likes being with his teammates. He wants to work towards winning a Super Bowl. He said all the good things.
As we all could have read.
Yeah.
He was going to be here to be a Buffalo Bill this year.
Yeah, and so that ultimately is what it is. We'll get a little bit more on Cook just because it's mandatory minicamps. He was the big story going into this, but me and you acknowledged last week, if he was here this week, and now that he was at least participating for a day, in what is effectively just OTAs except now mandatory, like nothing changes. Sal said that to us yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of stops being a story even going into training camp because he even said that yesterday, that he'll be there. He may not participate. It may end up being a hold-in when he gets to training camp.
Right.
He didn't totally shut the door there. Fine. It's not like he's a rookie who I'm like, dude, you need to get reps. Like, you need to – nope. Can move on. I'm fine with that.
And not only that, it just has to be one of these things that we all now have to embrace, which is realistically, cap-wise, is this James Cook's last season as a Bill?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to necessarily think about it before we get through a majority of the season.
Yeah, well, you don't want that specter looming over the season of,
but
oh,
I will
okay,
say,
we got two more games with James Cook kind of deal.
But I will say, probably this is the only time I'll say the sentiment up until like maybe the last days of watching James Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this. I'm expecting to miss James Cook as a Buffalo Bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I said about Tremaine Edmonds the last year of his contract. I'm going to miss him when he's gone. Because I knew that he was going to price himself into free agency with the career year he was having on the last year of his deal. I think I'm already at that stage with Cook where I'm like, I don't think he's going to be retained. The Bills don't have room for this, and that's okay.
Especially if he goes and gets. But there are still also questions. Do the Bills value the position in terms of a second contract?
Yeah.
And yes, he's the first one to really, truly earn it. But they may still sit there and go, nope, we'll take another guy in the second round. We have Ray Davis, who we took with a quote-unquote high pick. They can move on. I can understand it. And this will always be the thing with James Cook. And it is somewhat frustrating because I think he is a very good player. I do not think he is a great player. They don't use him particularly at all on third downs. Ty Johnson is openly, by Josh Allen, considered one of the best third-down running backs in football. They don't use him more than 50% of their offensive snaps. And when you look at his compatriots that he wants to get paid like, that is a stark difference.
Yep.
If he wants to get paid like Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, that's why we discuss him in those frameworks. Because I think everyone can acknowledge he's not with them. But when he wants to get paid like that, it's where, and this is where you will often hear agents say, teams say, we don't really want the player involved in the negotiations. Things are said that can hurt some feelings. Remember when Lamar Jackson was coming up on his deal? That was a big part of it of like, this may hurt the relationship. The fact that he is representing himself and things will be said.
Things will be said.
That for the most part, the team would have loved to have kept behind closed doors between agent and the team.
Anything contract mediation within the NHL.
Yeah.
And the fact that like those hearings have to go to a judge and the agent and maybe even the player straight up hear the words that the team has to argue to try to keep a price down.
Mm-hmm.
Those are potentially damaging things that get said during mediation.
Yeah.
But again, yesterday it was, there are not many ways, better ways that James Cook goes about this.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many better options on how to go about it. The crux of Cook's story here is, I'm doing well at my job. I would like to get paid more, please. There's no, like, outwardly demands more than just, like, he's just posting, this would be great. I want this kind of money.
It's kind of it, actually.
He's not saying, or else. Mm-hmm. It's just, this would sound cool. That's a normal thing. And I think that players looking for another contract will want to pay attention to what this saga ends with for James Cook.
Mm-hmm.
It could ultimately backfire. You know, there's things about it. But when it comes to a strategy, again, I feel like Bills fans were getting more annoyed with Dalvin Cook than James Cook.
It did feel like that times, yeah.
It's like, Dalvin, stop, please, come on, man. Like,
or in reality, it just became like, but what is Dalvin saying here? Like, we know he waited for it. That was maybe the most frustrating thing, and I brought it up to Stephon Diggs. Diggs was almost at a point open about everything.
Right.
Because he was never fully committal to the Bills and to Buffalo in
almost
particular.
Almost detrimentally so.
Yeah. And really the complete opposite to how Josh Allen operates. And those two were married at the hip. I mean, like, that's always – or attached to the hip. That's what it was. Where Cook has just been retweeting a few things, excited running backs are getting paid. And he mentioned that in his spot with the media as well, that everything running backs do, they should get paid more. Really, all of us know running backs do a ton. It's their shelf life.
Right.
In the modern day, it is tough to get 10 good years out of a running back, let alone great years.
It does not happen anymore.
It just doesn't happen.
Based on the physicality of the position and the decline in market interest of holding onto a player at that position, 10 years with the same team as a running back is nowadays impossible. let alone even 10 years of elite production from a running back, is tough to witness.
Yep.
You don't often see it. There's one without the other, Derrick Henry.
Yep.
He's not on the Titans anymore.
Yeah, they ultimately did move off of him. Saquon Barkley is a 2,000-yard rusher when he goes to the Eagles.
But
I don't totally know how much the Giants, if you really sat them down, would complain about that. I think they'd complain more about paying $40 million to Daniel Jones.
Which also was outwardly said in Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
As a reason that they don't sign Barkley is because Daniel Jones has this amount of money that needs to be proven.
Yeah. It's not that running backs aren't valuable, but it is one of those things where the value has decreased over the years. As the quarterback's value has increased, the running backs has decreased, and now you are seeing that where, you know, Derrick Henry goes to Baltimore. Baltimore was the one seed the year prior. They technically, if we're just looking at it, had a worse year.
They did.
They were not the one seed. They only make the divisional round. They technically had a worse year. The Eagles, and Mike Schoep brought this up yesterday, were 11-1 before a collapse by their coaching staff and everybody. And then they lose in the wild card round, but they're still a great team when Saquon Barkley shows up. Oh, now I will argue Saquon was huge for them last year and is a big reason why they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
They were able to really lean on him at times, and the big plays by him were maybe the most important, because when that passing game went away a lot in the later stages of the year last year, Saquon's huge runs were massive.
Look at the Rams playoff game. They don't survive that without Saquon Barkley just apparently taking it personally with the Rams.
Yeah, it did it to him twice that year.
Yeah. But he is waving goodbye on a run in a game that ultimately the Rams come back and put a real scare into that.
Yeah.
But that's how dominant he was in that game. Running backs, though, it's seeming like right now, because we've been dealing with this for years now, that running back is such a steep decline. There have been several drafts without one being even taken in an entire round open the draft.
It seems to take a quote-unquote generational guy to even go in the top 10.
At this point, that's the case, like Bijan Robinson or Ashton Jeanty at this point. Now, you're seeing it more commonplace, though, because I mentioned Robinson. I mentioned Jeanty. Amarian Hampton taken in the first round. Like, running backs are starting to kind of get flavor again. And it has to do with how defenses are being called. One of the big issues with not seeing a lot of the deep ball prowess, which is, I would call it a complaint of the Bills fan base, is because of how defenses are calling a too high shell now. And it is very frequent across the league. It is not a Bills problem. It is a league-wide thing.
Mahomes was one of the worst deep ball passers the last 2 years.
And they even acquired someone to try to fix this. But the thing is that sometimes those defenses can't be beat on that either. It's just not a good idea. Outside of one time, thanks Chargers for being the Chargers.
It's a great play.
And letting Xavier Worthy just run by him in a straight line.
It's an unbelievable throw.
But also, if you need to draft a player just to try to fix the deep ball mechanic on your team, it's not what I would call a good investment on the position.
No, they ended up figuring out with Worthy a little bit later where it's like, just get him the ball.
Attack it horizontally with the speed. They figured out eventually, and part of it is also, the quarterback has to be better. But I don't begrudge the Bills for not necessarily worrying about the deep speed wide receiver option sort of thing. Mac Hollins was probably one of the better deep threats on this team last year. Cool. It is because, you're not going to suspect Mac Hollins to be the guy to do this.
No, that's right.
And also, we're going to play a lot of that too high shell. The Bills, and Joe Brady, to his credit, have acknowledged and adjusted proper.
Well, I mean, that's how they built the team. It was, we're going to have running backs. We're going to have quick, twitchy receivers who are, their whole job, get open as quickly as possible.
Right.
Look at what they added this year, too, in Josh Palmer and Elijah Moore. Palmer's whole thing in free agency was, I know the stats don't look great, but look at his separation numbers. He is incredible at that. And you put him with a more consistent quarterback. And let's be honest, I think
a better offensive coordinator. Yeah,
and I think the honeymoon with Justin Herbert is over. I think most of us acknowledge he's an all-world physical talent, but in terms of a quarterback talent, he's just simply not consistent enough.
I also think that he is hamstrung by Greg Roman.
Don't disagree, but we've had these years now with him under multiple coordinators of, okay, you got to figure it out eventually here, man. You've got to put it together. Again, think he's an all-world physical talent and probably mental talent as well, but he's not consistent enough, And you do wonder now with Palmer, I'm not saying he's going to light the world on fire, 1,200 yards, 15 touchdowns. No. But if he's a guy that puts up 700 yards, 4 touchdowns, but is getting open quickly and Allen's just able to get the ball out to him, same with Elijah Moore, same with Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman seems to – he's having a pretty good offseason.
I don't want to get too far from the point that I'm trying to make here about running backs.
Yes.
Because part of the Bills' offensive attack, though, also has to do with they run the football.
Mm-hmm.
They know the too high shell is a problem. And how do you counter when NFL defenses are now going to a base of nickel? We're bigger than you, and we're running through you. That Dallas game is unforgettable in that sense of Dan Quinn dogmatically calling a base defense for the Dallas Cowboys of dime.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one linebacker playing out there.
Never moved off of it.
He didn't move off of it, and Joe Brady said, to heck with the script. Let's just run the football. We're bigger than them if they're going to keep running dime, and we're just going to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if he made it through his 15 scripted plays.
Well, I mean, didn't Brady brought that up in the post game? It's like, we had a different plan. Why move off of it, though? Or why move off of what was working?
Why like, this worked, and we're like, we're just going to get away from that. And I think that the league is starting to recognize that more. Running backs are having themselves better seasons than in, like, what, 3-4 years past?
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems like, not an overcorrection, but a slight correction of the, effectively, take the running back position out back, and like that's the end of the story. Like, there's no Old Yellering of the running back position anymore.
No, when they're like 26, 27, it's like they're basically done already.
Look at the segment that Louis DiBiase, Joe's brother, he tormented him with.
That's
hey,
tough.
Here's running backs that you're just as old as, and Todd Gurley's name comes up, and it's like, you think that Todd Gurley is like
35.
Yeah. But he's not.
Him, though, it was I think
there were so many devastating injuries.
He had lower body arthritis.
Yeah.
And that's what just ended his career.
He had two major knee surgeries.
I mean, it was done for him.
Before college was over.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, he came into the NFL sort of hand tied behind his back of like, it's going to be a tough road for
you. Damaged knees, man. Like, is this first round pick going to be worth it?
Now, I do wonder, though, with ultimately the running backs having this bit of a renaissance, I do wonder, though, if it's still going to be the
they still won't get paid.
Because still, nothing has changed on this front. Getting 8 to 10 years out of you, not happening. Where in other positions, you can have a wide receiver playing elite ball into their early 30s. We know quarterbacks now, your prime is kind of when you hit 30.
It is.
Edge rushers, we talk about all the time, 34, 35, 36, still playing at a high level if injuries have not hurt them.
If it points to the evidence of it. It's why drafting them earlier is making more sense and more commonplace than it is to sign one more.
Yep.
It's because what's the wear and tear on your body after your first NFL contract?
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a first round pick and get effectively an investment out of you for 5 seasons? Cool. We did our job. It's a good pick. We'll deal with that afterward. Very rarely do you see the big boy contract for a running back after they are selected.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years, depending on the round that you're taking, and we're already probably moving on because the position is still the most physically challenging in sports. It's every time that you are involved in the offense,
you are getting hit.
You are getting hit.
Mm-hmm.
Or you are being able to deliver some of it back yourself. But ultimately, most plays for running backs end with you're getting hit.
Yep. In some way.
Oh, running a route, ball might go to you. You might get hit. Oh, you're not running a route, you're pass blocking, you're hitting somebody.
Yeah.
You're running the ball,
you're getting hit. You're getting hit. It is going to be fascinating to see if this continues. It does help, though, and this has been true almost forever. Running backs, I'd say almost more than any position in football, hit the fastest.
Yes.
Rookie year running backs oftentimes can even have their best year, their rookie years. Look at Zeke Elliott.
Yes.
His best statistical year was year number one. Saquon Barkley, really up until this season, his best year, his first season. So you can draft these guys
Derrick
in
Henry
round
right
one.
Out the gate was awesome.
Awesome. He ended up getting better once Tennessee's like, oh, okay, I get your 6'3", 230, but you don't need to run up the middle all the time. You are faster. Like, they really figured out his third year, but he's also got the longevity that's absurd. But that has also, I think, opened up the idea of maybe first, second-round picks for running backs, because out of the gate, they can often be your best option at the position and can really be an asset to your offense, where receivers, as much as we talk about them, can take a year or two to really develop. Rounds two, three, four, whatever. They can take some years to develop. Quarterbacks, we all kind of know. Well, yes, there are some that can pop right away. Jaden Daniels, Drake May to a certain extent. You know, Allen, though, took a little bit of time. Lamar took a little bit of time. But by years two, three, they're off to the races, and they have longer careers, where it's almost poetic in the sense that, like, yeah, running backs don't have to take that. Fourth-round rookie running backs can hit Bucky Irving, can hit right out of the gate. But because of that, it also just almost naturally makes sense that their career will be a little bit shorter. Because, in quote,
Kyren
it kind of starts earlier. Kyren Williams.
What was it, 83% snap share last year?
87 last year, and I think the year prior was 84.
Like, they know they're going to have to use every bit of that player that they can. One, because their running back room is not very good.
It's Kyren Williams.
It's Kyren Williams.
Well, and Blake Corum. Yeah, well, he was used like every third series or something like that. Mike Shope is bringing this up because I know fantasy-wise, Blake Corum was a tough sell for that reason, because it was like, okay, when he's on the field, he's got like a drive, and then we're right back to Kyren Williams. So if it's a three and out, you might be saying goodbye to a quarter of production for him.
So ultimately, though, it is this, like, there's a renaissance of usage of running backs again based on defenses, how they're structured, how they're called, and how the passing game has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that the position is going to make its comeback contractually. When Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, they all get decent deals in free agency. However, that's when you look and go, that's when you're James Cook's agent. You go, maybe there's a shot we can get something from a team. Mm-hmm. It might not be the Bills, but it might be somewhere else in free agency.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. Didn't talk too much on Bills practice yesterday, and that's, well, because coming up next, Sal Capaccio, who was down at One Bills Drive, he'll be there today and tomorrow as well, as Bills wrap up OTAs tomorrow, will join us after a quick timeout. But if you want to join the show, 803-0550, the number to call. Bills may end up having a very boring summer with James Cook attending. How are you feeling about that? We'll discuss all of that when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And that music does mean we are joined on the Western Hotline by our own Sal Capaccio as we get ready for day number two of Mandatory Minicamp, with practice expected to start in just about 2 hours at 12:30. Sal, good morning, my friend. How are we doing today?
Pretty good, guys. Good morning to you. Yep, a little bit later for here for minicamp than what we normally get for a, I guess, training camp schedule would be a little earlier, but also during the season. Normally during the season, the team is on the field late morning, but you know, during minicamp, it's a little bit later. Meetings throughout the morning, and then practice today at 12:30 p.m. Tomorrow's back to an 11 a.m. practice, by the way.
Yeah, I do remember, like, tomorrow's going to be like they get through practice, and then everyone get out, enjoy your vacation. Let's get to training camp ready and strong to go.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see. We'll see today if there's any change to the status of some of the injured players who did not practice yesterday. That was a bit of a storyline. Now that we know that James Cook is there and he's participating, that's kind of gone away. So, yeah, that was the big deal yesterday. And then, you know, obviously some of the guys who were injured, and Sean McDermott, though, did say that he does not believe that any of the guys injured yesterday, anything should leak into training camp. They're going to be really extra precautionary right now, guys.
Yeah, and speaking of that, for those that missed it, who are those players that did not end up participating yesterday? That if they didn't see the report on your on the website at WGR550.com, Sal did have the latest from minicamp.
Yeah, so both safeties, Cole Bishop and Damar Hamlin. If you want to say safety Cam Lewis, that's three safeties. We caught him as a defensive back. He's kind of does a little bit of everything there. Defensive end Joey Bosa, we knew about him and his calf injury already. Center Connor McGovern, wide receiver KJ Hamler, linebacker Baylen Spector, running back Ty Johnson. None of them practiced yesterday. During practice, Alec Anderson, He appeared to have something, maybe tweak something, whatever. I don't know exactly what happened, but trainers came out. They wrapped up his upper part of his leg. He did not do any more reps, but he never went inside. So that's always a good sign. When a guy stays on the field, it's a good sign that you hope everything's okay. I also saw him afterwards. He seemed like he was in good spirits and walking around the field house. Taron Johnson had a red non-contact jersey on, but he did practice yesterday, something he's been dealing with, a torn labrum surgery. Tore his labrum last year, had surgery. But the other guys, quite a bit of a list. But, you know, look, again, so a guy like Cole Bishop, for example, so everybody knows how this works. Like, I saw him, he was on the stationary bike when the team was doing offense against defense. Like, he didn't take any reps. But when the defense was alone and just doing a walkthrough, he was with the defense. So just goes to show you, like, they're doing some things. They're just not fully participating, a lot of these guys.
Moving off from the injury, Sal, you did mention there, James Cook. We knew when we were talking to you yesterday that he would be at least in attendance. We didn't know to what extent. He did participate, and not only that, he did actually speak with the media as well. There has, of course, been the quote running around. You know, I didn't hear the question exactly, but James White here, I like my money. There was more, though, to it as well. And so, Sal, what did you take away from his appearance?
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting because, like, I love him for being honest, right? Mm-hmm, I love that. Yep. I love the honesty part of it. It's kind of the different version of, I'm just here so I won't be fined.
I love it.
Really what it is, right? He said, I like my money. That's why he said, I do. I really do. That's why I'm here. That's what he said. And he had a smile on his face. And look, I mean, if he missed, he would have had a fine of $17,000 for day one. If he misses day two, it's an additional $32,000-$33,000. If he misses day three, it's an additional $52,000-$53,000. So it's like $104,000 added up. He didn't want to be fined. He wanted his money. He said that. Now, that being said, he was also asked, okay, well, you could be here and not do anything, right? What we call hold in. You could come to practice. You're here. You report. You don't get fined. But you could say, I'm not doing anything. I'm not risking anything. I'm trying to go through this contract thing. And that's when he also said that he's a leader. And it's his team, and he wants to be there for his teammates, and he likes being out there with the guys, and they have goals, and they want to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, I think if people hear the quote or see the quote, I like my money, I think it kind of paints a picture of, okay, this guy, that's all about, he's all about the, only about the money. That's the only reason why he's with his team. But I will say, in addition to that context, he also said he could just, like, not do anything and still keep his money. But he said, hey, I mean, this is my team. I want to be out there with the guys. So I think there's that part of it, too, which, you know, speaks to James' character as a football player and teammate.
Sal, I heard you had asked in particular yesterday to James Cook that, like, you were asking about the communication, how things have been going between him and the team. And that response was, at the very least, like, it's still at least steady as it goes from what I gathered his answer on.
Yeah, so I got the sense, you know, just from, so you take his answer and you take what Sean McDermott has said and what Brandon Bean has said about their communication, and I think you can just kind of pile it up into, they've been communicating. But it doesn't have to be about, are you going to be here? You're not going to be here. It's just, hey, probably regular discussions. How's everything going? You staying in shape? Hope to see you. Those kinds of things. That's my interpretation of just, hey, we've had good conversations, good relationships. So, you know, James made it clear, like, there's no ill will here towards anybody. There's a business side of this, which we all know. You know, he's not mad at anybody. He wants to be paid and he wants to be compensated and believes that, you know, for what he does, what his position entails, what he's accomplished, you know, he wants to have a contract extension paying him a certain value. And right now that's not happening from the Bills side. And from the Bills point of view, they're not mad at James Cook. You know, he's got to do what he's got to do. As Brandon Bean said a couple months ago, James is a grown man. He can make his decisions on how he wants to go about this. But we love James. And Jimbo, they call him, right? He said, we love Jimbo, and he's a very big part of the Bills organization. So I don't think it's gotten to the point, guys, of anything super contentious between anyone personally. You know, right? I don't think it's super contentious between James Cook and the Buffalo Bills front office, between him and Brandon Bean, certainly not between him and Sean McDermott, who's his head coach. I think, though, there's this underlying, okay, like, at some point, we'd really like to get something done here, and James is in a I think James Cook's in a tough spot because he is under contract. If he doesn't show up, he does get fined, but he wants to be paid. And, you know, he believes that there's a certain value that he's worth to this organization. And I think that at some point, this could wind up coming to another head. Maybe that's at training camp at the beginning of it. maybe it's during the season as we're going along, and not saying that like all of a sudden he's not there, but I mean like that we're starting to talk about like James Cook and his contract situation and where all this goes. Maybe it's not until after the 2025 season.
Yeah.
Maybe we're sitting here going, hey, in February, okay, he played out his deal. Are you going to sign him? Are you going to franchise tag him? Are you going to transition tag him? It could really linger all the way through there, and I kind of suspect that that could be the case.
Mm-hmm. Sal Capaccio here on the West Hurt Hotline. Sal, I do want to get your thoughts before we run out of time here on some of the other hold-ins, hold-outs, players not reporting to mandatory minicamps, because as you brought up, I mean, there hasn't really been any really ill will, bad blood between the Bills and James Cook. The same cannot be said for another AFC team that I do want to get to. But do want to touch on practice yesterday. Any notable moments? Yeah. I mean, knowing it's essentially OTAs, just mandatory, was there anything that really stood out to you?
Yeah, look, I understand too. Like everybody points, I get a lot of people point out to me, doesn't mean anything. They're in shorts. That's fine. You don't have to like football right now. You don't have to, but it's my job to cover it. And I enjoy watching football right now. And, you know, I like watching these guys do their jobs and kind of gain some information and insight into what we're seeing from some of them. I think that yesterday, what stood out to me was Joe Andreessen having a really nice day, mm-hmm. including an interception of Josh Allen. Did a really nice job to drop from his linebacker spot, kind of got his hands on a ball that was a crosser over the middle. And he initially got his hands on it, kind of popped up, and then he secured it. So he did a really good job to stay with it and then take it back the other way. You know, Joe looks a little bit bigger to me. I think that, you know, a year into the Bills system, you know, last year he was going to these workouts trying to hook on with a team, as we know. And then he got in with the Bills, and, you know, everything's kind of come at you so fast. Now his feet are here. He knows it's where he grew up, obviously. He's comfortable. But more than that, it's just being in an organization, being in a system, being with these trainers and coaches year round, I think has been really beneficial for him, obviously. Still more, I think, good meshing between Josh Allen and Elijah Moore. I think Josh Palmer also is in that mix. Again, you're not, you know, going out there and trying to, you know, hit anybody if you're a defensive back, and it's a lot easier kind of complete passes in this environment. But what you're watching is you're watching timing, you're watching routes, and, you know, you can see that coming along with some of these guys as well. So yeah, I think those are things that I've noticed. Yesterday I focused a lot on the offensive side, specifically because of James, because Josh coming back from his wedding and we hadn't seen him, you know, for a couple of weeks. I think today I'll focus a little bit more on the defensive side. Max Hairston, excuse me, Landon Jackson, Deion Walker, TJ Sanders, the new defensive lineman. And Shaq Thompson, by the way,
mm-hmm. yep.
I didn't add him in the non-participant list yesterday, but the Bills had just signed him, and he is here, but he didn't practice yesterday. We'll see about today.
He did ultimately, though, speak with the media as well, and if you want to hear any of that audio, yep. the Odyssey app or on our website, WGR550.com. Sal, I did tease it. The AFC team, the Cincinnati Bengals. We knew yesterday, yeah. and it really was not surprising, Trey Hendrickson not in attendance. He has been very vocal about how this contract situation has been handled with him and the Bengals. The lack of communication, even, I think, has been a key contributor there. Shamar Stewart, though, their rookie first-round pick, has been in attendance for all of this and spoke to me yesterday. A number of quotes from him. You know, Trey might be 100% or, you know, 99% correct, but there's that 1% because he's under contract. I'm 100% right in what I'm doing. The Bengals seem to care more about winning arguments than winning games. I mean, just it is really quite wild what is going on there. And me and Derek were talking before we even came in this morning, too, of just like from day one, they're starting this relationship with Stewart on such a bad note.
Yeah, it's bizarre to me. It really is. That's the word mm-hmm. that kind of comes to mind. Now, when you take into consideration this organization that does, as you point out, have a history of, you know, having a reputation and these sorts of things coming up, that if you're going to pick a team, you know, that might be near the top of your list that this could happen. But I still think it's bizarre to have a rookie get drafted in the first round and having this sort of war of words. Now, you guys are too young to remember, but I remember back in the 80s and 90s, like true holdouts of rookies because you yeah. didn't have the rules you have today. You know what I mean? Like, there were real holdouts. Shane Conlon was drafted by the Buffalo Bills in 1987 in the first round. And I think that was it. And There was, I remember the night, like the nightly news. There would be the nightly news. The 6 o'clock news would come on. You'd wait for the sports to find out if Shane Conlon has signed his contract yet and how, like, oh, he's still holding out. It's day number 12. It's day number 13. That doesn't happen anymore. We don't get that. And it's not even a holdout right now when it comes to Shamar Stewart. But it's just bizarre because you don't see things like this happening in the league, the way the financials are structured and the way that the NFL collective bargaining agreement works. It's just weird to me to hear a rookie come in and say these kinds of things and this war of words between him and his organization.
Yeah, and Sal, you mentioned the, it's always been different because nowadays, those picks 1 through 32, it's slotted now, those salaries. It is something like it's more or less set in stone. But the one I remember the most, former Texas running back Cedric Benson.
Yeah.
That was one of the more lengthy holdouts that I remember from a top five pick. And like I'm just thinking about these things. Like now in this day and age, like you've mentioned, like you have to watch the nightly news to see if Shane Conlon signed his contract. But nowadays, if there was a holdout, we'd be hearing about it nonstop through social media in a different day and age. So I do wonder how long this is going to go with Shamar Stewart, because it can get really intense if things are not figured out quickly between him and Cincinnati.
Yeah, and I think the other point there that you're touching on is right, Derek, which is because of social media now, like these things get heightened, right? And when he talks, and he has an ability, if he wants, he could go and take to social media himself. He could say what he wants. You know, you have all these different voices out there in this space, and everything gets kind of like more hyped up and hyper-focused on. So it's just a really weird situation, and it's been kind of trending this way with that. And then you have Trey Hendrickson on top of that, which,
right?
Who knows what's going to happen. That's a fantastic player in this league who's put in the time, and you know, the guy's had, you know, I think the most sacks in the league over the last couple of years. Shamar Stewart, he hasn't even played a down in the NFL. You have the kind of the, it's a weird, you have the juxtaposition of these two guys that are different ends of their kind of careers, where this really, you know, this all-pro type of player here, and I don't even know if he's made all-pro, but, you know, Trey Hendrickson has put these numbers up. Shamar Stewart, who hasn't done anything in the NFL yet, he's a first-round pick, and they're kind of going through the exact same thing with the exact same organization.
I did find it a little like curious that Shamar Stewart said that one thing of like, yeah, Trey Hendrickson's like 1% wrong because he's under contract. I'm not. I did find that one a little like potentially awkward. But
one thing you don't do is talk about another player's situation.
Yeah,
that is a rule in the locker room. Other than being supportive, like you do that. Like if people talk to Bills players about James Cook, hey, we support Jimbo, we love him, can't wait to get him here, right? Like, that's what you say.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about another player's contract, money, even when you open the door of 1% wrong, like, that is just a no-no in the NFL.
That's
especially 1%, coming from a rookie.
That's 1% of what you should not say, and
exactly
1%
right.
equals 100% in most locker rooms. Like, dude, what are you doing?
That's right. I thought that was really curious, Derek, I'm glad you brought that up, because in the same, like, almost the same sentence, he then went, I mean, yeah, he's got 17 and a half sacks the last two seasons. I'd pay him anything. Like, it did feel like, oh, he's trying to cover himself. He realized he shouldn't have probably said that. He's trying to cover him. But I don't want it for the Bills, but in terms of our business and the content, I'm like, all right, at least Cincinnati, like they will have a busy offseason keeping up with all of this. But Sal, thank you so much for jumping on with us today. Practice at 12:30, and there's no media afterwards, correct? There's no one necessarily speaking?
Yeah, there will be. We just don't know yet who.
Okay.
That's all. But we'll get players. We don't have – yesterday we knew it was Josh, and then we got a couple other guys. But we will get people today, but we won't know until we get down there. But so I guess surprise, right? We'll get the big reveal when we have it for you. At Sal Sports, of course. I know we'll have the audio for you at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app.
All right, sounds good. Sal, enjoy practice. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys, thanks.
See you, Sal.
That was Sal Camacho there on the Wester Hotline.
For your sake, I hope it's Elijah Moore.
I was gonna say that. I was gonna say I'm gonna be texting Sal here in the break. Hey, ask for a more. Just ask for him. I know you're gonna pay for the defense. You're gonna pay attention for the defense today, but ask for more. I did want to say real quick, so we gotta hit a break here. But the one holdout I do remember, and I think he may have ended rookie holdouts. Like, I think this is when the CBA changed. 2007, Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah,
that's the one I really remember.
That was so
remember.
Aggressive, and then
he skipped training camp, missed week one, and then finally
signed his
deal.
He was also then so bad.
And I think that's why everyone, and also, of course, the all-time quotes, I think from, was it Lane Kiffin at the time as the OC? Or the head coach?
Head coach, yeah.
Sending him blank videotapes because they kind of had an inkling he wasn't actually studying. So they gave him those to go home, and he would come back. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, watch the whole thing. Get, ready? And they're like, oh, no.
That moment is part of something that is written into Draft Day.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, man.
The $100 bill at the end of the playbook.
Oh, man.
What a movie that is.
What a movie.
It is a movie that has been brought out to the public.
We do need another like draft-oriented movie because Draft Day is not good, but it's all we have. We are starving. We are famished.
It is a movie that was produced.
That is absolutely correct. 803-0550, the number to call. Before we hit our next timeout, though, I do want to remind you, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you will receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider, you can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging out with you here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show, and we'll be right back. Well, we ran a little late with Sal, so we're going to have to be quick here.
Yeah, a lot of bit.
Jacksonville, they were on the practice field early today. Some news there. Brian Thomas Jr. went down for a little bit, landed badly on his shoulder.
But like Sal said, it's a good thing when a player ends up back on the field, doesn't go back in the building.
Left for a little bit, went to the sidelines, what have you. Got his helmet, though, back on the sidelines. That is something.
That's a little bit of a scare.
Especially with what that offense can be with him, Travis Hunter, maybe Trevor Lawrence with Liam Cohen now in the building. Look, I'm buying a lot of Jacksonville stock. In terms of what I think they could do in the AFC South, that would have been something that would have absolutely crushed that. Because I just don't know about Trevor Lawrence being able to be an effective quarterback if not his best receivers goes down before even training camp. That'd have been a really, really tough sell for me. But all signs appear to be good for him. 803-0550, the number to call. We do have finals action tonight. We had the night off yesterday, but the NBA is back tonight, 8:30. Oklahoma City and Indiana. The series moves to Indiana with a tied 1-1. OKC really running away with it in game two. We'll talk that. Stanley Cup Finals, more on the NFL as well. If you want to join the conversation, again, the number 803-0550 is the way to join. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, along with you for the next hour. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
At this point, is it more likely that Trey Hendrickson is a Bengal or that he gets traded?
I think it's more likely he's a Bengal because I think we're so far along into the offseason that for another team to trade for him, it wouldn't be easy. But if we go back, we saw Khalil Mack traded in September. So teams make space for great players, and Trey Hendrickson's a great player. It's in both sides' best interest to get this done, but these two sides have struggled to get it done. And yeah, you'd think that Pittsburgh would figure out a way. You think Cincinnati would as well, and I'm sure Dallas will too. And my guess would be that by the end of the summer, all three players will have their deals. But here we are in mid-June, and they currently don't.
Adam Schefter there, talking about, the off-season of pass rushers. Micah Parsons, TJ Watt, Trey Hendrickson. Two of those guys, Hendrickson and Watt, not at mandatory minicamp. Parsons is, but all three looking for big-time deals. We do know, though, on Parsons specifically, that there was a deal on the table. Words from Jerry Jones, and I don't think Parsons denied it, that would make him the highest-paid non-quarterback in the league. The only problem was Parsons' agent was not being talked to about it.
Right.
It was Jerry Jones. I'm hoping and praying, faxing him the contract details. I know he didn't. But a part of me really wants that he decided, screw it. 2 a.m, no, we're getting this done. I'm going to fax it over to him.
Yep.
I'm going to text him real quick. Here's the details.
Here's Parsons the details.
Is like, I'm not signing anything until my agent's there. And he's like, well, I'm talking to him. Sign it now. Look at the money.
Yeah.
All three are going to probably get signed, right?
I don't know.
The Hendrickson one, I do actually wonder.
There's
about.
No way.
The Hendrickson
not in Cincinnati.
Yeah, Dallas. They will sign him. They'll just wait until like another guy gets signed, and then they'll finally do it.
Yeah.
Watt, I think they'll get signed as
Watt
well.
Watt is the one of the three that I think gets done first.
Yeah.
The second being Parsons,
and the third not being with the team that he's with is Hendrickson.
He's the one where I'm just like, I don't really know.
The Bengals are a joke. And it is getting to be all the more questionable as to how they managed to make a Super Bowl. It's more impressive even because of how their management style dictates, how ownership runs things there. I would hate to be a Cincinnati Bengals fan because your franchise, if not for, you and I said something about this before the show.
Mm-hmm.
If not for the fact that you keep being bailed out by having like incredible quarterbacks.
And they have through most of their history.
But you constantly waste those two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a bust in there with Akili Smith, but Joe Burrow, Carson Palmer.
Andy Dalton was fine.
Was a second rounder.
He was good.
He outperformed that pick selection.
Yeah, and then you go to the early years of the Bengals. You got Ken Anderson and Boomer Esiason. I think both each made a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but the Bengals do this all the time with their ownership group, and it's just, I don't know what's up with them. I don't understand them. I don't get it. And they really are that franchise that consistently gets in their own way just for the sake of being cheap.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do this. I hate myself for it, and you all can hate me for
it,
too.
Lean into it. It's okay.
But, like, I see that Matthew Fairburn piece about the Sabres.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm always a little concerned about that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, the team isn't, like, ownership is involved, but they're trying to do things, you know, a little bit on the cheaper side. And I'm like, why? For why?
You didn't, why?
You didn't do this before. Like, don't do it now.
Yeah, don't. Well, and especially, like,
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do it less. We talked with Sal Marano about this on Monday. Of just like it, that was more to the baseball of it,
right?
But
baseball, yeah, in particular, but baseball teams.
All owners are billionaires. Now, why are you being cheap?
Why are you being cheap on this? Yeah. That's how you end up being a billionaire. Yeah, you know, questionable ethics. But
hoarding the money like Smaug.
Hoarding the money like Smaug and questionable ethics. That's how you billionaire.
Smaug.
Smaug.
He burned Lake Town. I mean,
that's how you do it. But again, you have too much money, quite frankly. Burn it on something. Oh, you acquired a team? Use that money on it.
Yeah, how are you not bored kind of deal?
Right?
Are you not bored? Be like, I don't know. Like, is it Stan Kroenke?
And if you don't want to spend...
He owns Arsenal. He owns, like, the Denver... Or, like, the LA Chargers. Or no.
Rams.
And, like, he's just, like, spending money on all these sports teams, making them all successful.
Colorado Avalanche, too.
Colorado Avalanche. Like, he's just spending money making successful teams. Like, that's a man that's like, I'll do this. This is fun.
He's a scuzzy dude. I hated the, you know...
Moving the Rams out of St. Louis.
How that happened. Mm-hmm. And, like... But he's at least spending the money. You mentioned, like, the Browns.
Like, oh, man.
When we were talking before the show. The Browns do it. They just do it in...
They're just not correct ways.
They're just not advised with their spending of money. Like, have fun with the money that you know is never going to affect you. It's never going to see anything about you because you have so much more money. Or sell it to another billionaire that has too much money that wants to burn it.
Steve Ballmer. The Clippers.
Sell it to a billionaire that wants to burn his money.
Yeah.
It is his or her money. Like, just do it.
I do wonder, though, if this is the penance for Ohio football fans.
At least
fans.
Let us plebs have fun with you burning your money.
Right. But I'm telling you, I think this might be the penance for Ohio football fans of, like,
this is what you get for the Ohio State University.
Yeah, like, you get Ohio State. But you do not get Cleveland and Cincinnati being relevant. You get the Cincinnati Bearcats making the college football playoff. You do not get
the Cincinnati Bengals making the
playoff. You do not get that. No. There is a limit to this. It is funny, though. I mean, you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, how they operate, and then the Ohio State Buckeyes, and like the Buckeyes are like, we will spend the GDP of a small country.
The Buckeyes spend more money on players than the Bengals do. I don't like how accurate that seems. I don't like how accurate that seems.
It's not true.
We are absolutely speaking hyperbolic, but it sounds like it makes sense.
Well, I mean, depending on who you ask, I mean, the report, I guess, was nullified by Steve Sarkisian, but Texas might have a $40 billion roster this year. Those two teams play and week one of the college football season.
The resources that some of these major college football programs.
Yeah.
What was it? LSU with that virtual reality.
Yeah, baby.
Quarterbacks getting virtual reality reps so that they can learn how to read.
Jaden Daniels. Big aspect for him.
Big talking aspect on that was he had that. He had mentioned it publicly. Like, this was something that made me better as a quarterback. And this is a Division I college football program putting that money in.
Yeah.
There are NFL teams that don't have that.
And now, I mean, we haven't been able to talk about it, but over the weekend, we are now, you know, to simplest terms, schools will now be able to openly pay players. It will not just be the NIL fund where boosters are putting them together and stuff like that. Schools will be able to do that with revenue sharing. So, yeah, like, we actually might get to the point where Ohio State actually does spend more than the Cincinnati Bengals and Cleveland Browns.
Like, we're mentioning Ohio State, and I remember the infamous quote from Cardale Jones, former Bill Cardale Jones.
Such a good quote.
I'm not here to play school. Like, we're not here to play school. Like,
so,
and that was before the NIL showed up.
Like, he still had to somewhat convince people he was attending classes.
But except he very much didn't. With that quote, he's like, no, I'm not at class.
I'm not doing that.
I'm not at class.
Look what school I'm at. Look what sport I'm playing.
Right. Like, and look where I – yeah, it's like – and that's before NIL deals were showing up. So, like, who knows what was under the table with college athletics all the time.
Oh, man.
To a point where Reggie Bush has his Heisman taken away from him.
Man, I got to tell you right now. You may have watched it.
SMU.
SMU. Watch the 30 for 30.
The death penalty.
Pony excess. Watch that. It is I've been this way for years with college sports. I think all the big programs for a long time were cheating. It was just how good were you at it in terms of getting caught, buying the right players?
At least nowadays, it's just in front of everybody.
Right.
Like, at least now nobody's hiding it. There's no shame about paying college players to play football for your school. It is strictly that. That's the business. That's always been the business. Now, I appreciate that I'm not being gaslit into thinking from Mark Emmert, with the chairman of the NCAA saying, oh, no, these are they're students first. It's student athlete. And I'm like, no, you're lying to me. You're gaslighting everyone. Stop. Like,
another good documentary. All of the Miami ones where they're like, yeah, I mean, the U played a big part in like the boom of downtown Miami.
Don't lie to me. Like, that's all I want. I'm a very simple man. Don't lie to me. Don't gaslight me.
Well, that was always my big thing with paying players openly was always like, cool, now we're still on the even playing field. Everything's out in the open, masks off, let's go. Because like you bring up like what was going on like behind the tables. You'll have former players now they can talk about it with like, yeah, it was just a briefcase of like $10,000 or $500 bills just like stuffed in your backpack.
Yeah,
or
I want to hear more of those stories because what's the NCAA going to do?
Good.
Take those things away? No, you're openly paying everyone now.
I don't know if
you
Eric,
can.
I don't think Eric Dickerson's ever openly acknowledged it. It definitely didn't during the documentary that I think was made in like 2011, 2012. Right. But
like the Fab Five, Michigan.
Oh yeah, Fab Five, absolutely. But Dickerson, it was famous, the gold Trans Am. It was a car that an A&M booster bought him to go to A&M. And he's like, I don't want to go to A&M, but like they gave me this car. I don't know what to do. And SMU, the story goes, was like, dude, take the car. You don't have to play for him. We'll help you pay it off. Or even more famously is the story that Dickerson took a pay cut to go to the NFL. Which is insane.
And now, but you see that though. Like you mentioned this sort of thing. There are quarterbacks that will stay in school, for example. There will be pro prospects that are going to stay in school because NIL is now so open with this.
That was a Quinn Ewers thing of like, are you really going to go to the NFL, be a fifth to seventh round draft pick and make less money than you would at, let's say, Michigan or Ohio State if they wanted to bring him back or looking for a new quarterback? Instead, he wants to go to the NFL. That's something actually I've thought about with college basketball and college football of potentially the draft prospects will be better because they're going to be in college longer. There won't be that rush to get to the NFL the moment the iron's hot.
They're not chasing the dollar now.
Yeah, the dollar is there from the word go. And so I think definitely in basketball will make the prospects better. You won't have these 18-year-olds that are playing like in the G League
and I can
trying to get it going instead of be like, no, I'll go spend 2 years at Duke.
And I can appreciate that college athletics now is going to, no, I'm not being gaslit into thinking that, or I'm not even being gaslit into thinking.
Just straight
I'm just
lied
being
to.
Gaslit yeah. and lied to that, like, oh, no, they're students first. Like, I've got a bridge to sell you.
Right. And for me, too, and 803-0550, if you want to jump on this topic as well. For me, it's always been the sports, namely college basketball and college football, are simply too big. We as an audience allow them to get too big to really honestly and earnestly convince ourselves they're amateurs.
Yes.
The sports got
too big. It is a minor league.
Yeah. It's a developmental league for the quote-unquote pros. And for some of these, especially in the South, it's professional. When you look at college football, it is professional. In Alabama with Alabama and Auburn, Florida with the Gators and Florida State, Clemson with South Carolina. Like these are professional teams. Hell, Derek, this was always something I would laugh at before we got the announcement of the new Highmark Stadium. And having just made this pilgrimage myself, one of the cities that was thrown around like, oh, the Bills could move here was Austin. Okay,
right, Austin,
so
Texas.
Is a pro team really going to – and Austin is a bigger city. They could legitimately have a pro team. But are you going to tell me right now a pro team is going to have a smaller stadium than the University of Texas?
No.
Texas is a 100,000-person stadium. The new Bills Highmark Stadium will be around, what, 65? Are you going to have that much smaller of a stadium?
Yeah, you got to
That would look awful.
Because also, Austin, Texas, you know that the Longhorns have those luxury boxes too, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's Texas football.
Yep.
That's Texas football.
And, I mean, being there for just a weekend, it's like Pittsburgh with their colors being black and gold. I don't know if Austin's official color is burnt orange, but damn does it feel like it.
Well, there's no way you step on their toes, though.
If
there's a pro team, you can't step on those
you
toes.
Can't.
You can't even have any shade of orange there.
No. Or it's going to be, no, you bow to us. You will be orange as well.
I don't know which way it would go.
I don't know which way it would go.
I think it would be like the pro team would have to step off and go, I ain't touching
but
that.
But I always found it laughable that like Austin was being put up there. And I'm like, cool, are you prepared then to put like a 110,000 person stadium? Because
you have to.
There's no way you're going to be the little brother to a college team.
And that is a legitimate fear there. Like, for example, it would be like in that nightmare scenario where the Bills were to have relocated,
mm-hmm.
they would be a good team at least. But like, could you imagine? Ready? Vegas. Think about Vegas.
Yeah.
The Golden Knights became something in Vegas because they were hot off the start, right off the iron.
Yep.
And who comes showing up? Because the legitimate fear is they have to be good before the Raiders show up.
Yeah, because NFL's king.
NFL's king. Football's king. You have to be good.
They'll take over.
Before they move, because we all could see it. You have to be good before another team shows up in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And the Golden Knights are.
Yeah.
They're great.
And they were good from the word go.
And they had to be. In order for this to succeed, they had to be.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta. The Thrashers.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently not able to get out of their own way. Ownership ultimately has something to do with that.
Yeah.
But there were already other
teams that had well established. And Atlanta is also a transient town as well. Austin has become that as well. But Atlanta had the Braves and the Falcons. The Falcons don't even have a particularly great history.
Right.
But it's the Falcons and it's the NFL. I will say though, to the argument of maybe Austin, and this would be hysterical. They share the stadium. And that I just be wild to me. I always thought when that came up or when that was a thing that maybe could happen, I was like, yeah, Austin's not the right city. San Antonio made sense.
That makes
Austin,
sense.
I was always like, that's not real.
But yeah.
Or if that's real, it's a bad fake.
Yeah.
It's a bad push.
Like if Austin's gonna get a pro team, you have to be good from the word go.
And I think you got to do a lot of legwork to eventually overtake Texas. You have to.
And it's so well entrenched there at that point. Like, ready? Columbus.
Even when they were
bad. The Blue Jackets are an afterthought in Columbus, Ohio.
Hmm?
Afterthought.
Because of the
Ohio
college
state.
Team.
It is a college town. It's a college city. Like, it's a dangerous game to play there.
Mm-hmm. LA gets away with it because, well, LA is LA.
Yes.
You know, USC can play at the Coliseum and the Rams can play at SoFi, but it's like, yeah, but it's LA.
But LA's that big that you can get away with that. Like Chicago having five professional sports teams. Mm-hmm. New York, same thing. Those are cities that are that big that you can get away with that. LA, they have the Kings, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Rams, the Chargers.
Oh, man, the Clippers.
Dodgers. Sometimes the Angels, there it when is. They feel like it.
I was like, come on, baby.
When they feel like it.
Nolan Chanuel.
But
walk-off yesterday.
Again, that just tells you just how big that city is.
Yeah.
And you can get away with all that.
Hmm. Everything. Weird to think about with expansion, because I think most of us now acknowledge like NFL expansion when it eventually probably does happen. International. I think what most of us consider is probably not a U.S. city, but an international team.
I don't want to admit that to being right, but I know that it is. But then that means that NFL Sundays are going to get dominated from like 6 a.m. or 7 a.m.
Oh.
Until the end
Roger Goodell is pounding the table for that.
7 a.m. till 11 p.m. Get ready, everyone. That's what football is going to look like.
You think London knows that first city?
Yes. They've been there the longest.
But I would have said Jacksonville gets relocated, but now with the new stadium renovations and stuff, they're probably locked in? Maybe?
Probably.
I'll say probably.
Ready? You have to realign the entirety of the divisions. If you take the AFC South team,
that'd be ugly.
Put them in London, which is more north than New England.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you talk about border gore then. That'd be rough. That'd be bad.
I've got the Jacksonville Jaguars. I've got the London Jaguars.
Jaguars, there you go.
Playing in the AFC South, brother.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. That's not happening. Oof.
Governor. I feel like it's every American's right to do terrible Cockney at least once in their life.
It's a tough accent to do, though.
That was the worst English accent I think I will have ever spoken in my entire life.
It's a tough accent to do. It's a tough one.
But it's everyone's God-given right to do it at least once.
I've done it at least once. I don't have to do it on air. I've done it at least once.
I feel like I should ask Josh to do terrible Cockney right now.
Would a Canadian team, though,
I need
first?
I need the worst English accent right now.
He's not doing it.
Come on.
No. Yeah, no.
Come on.
Shakes the head. No.
Coward.
Maybe a Canadian team, though, would be first.
Nothing should be so sacred.
But is the international test, I could see a Canadian team being first. I could.
No. The Toronto series ultimately failed. And that had more to do with the state of the Bills, but the NFL did not continue to press on the gas for that.
Thankfully.
Selfishly, as Bills fans, yes. But the NFL did not follow up with any team.
Yeah.
Canada. Has Canada gotten a single game since then?
I don't believe so. No, because the international
Mexico
thing,
has.
Yeah, I was going to say the international thing has become much more overseas with Mexico thrown in there. I mean, we're going to get an Australia game.
Before we get another Canada game.
That's right, yeah.
That tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, that they were not thrilled with that product. Well, maybe it also is too, though. The CFL might – it's not king in Canada, though. I mean, but it might be enough to where they've got their teams, they've got their league.
It's fun enough.
Yeah, they've got their teams, they've got their league, they've got their rules.
It's fun enough. It's fun enough maybe. Up there for them.
803-05.
You ever watch a CFL game?
No, I've wanted to go to one, though. That's one of my dad's dreams, is to go to like an Argonauts game or something like that, like to go see a CFL game.
If we got Canadian listeners, help me out. Tweet at DerekKramer49. I need to know just how fun a Canadian Football League game is.
Or would it frustrate me because the rules are just ever so different?
Like, is it better or worse than polo?
Careful.
Oh, that's right. You've been to polo.
Careful.
There's a chance I'm going to go to another one.
There's a chance you'll go again?
There's a chance.
Don't do this to me again. Don't do this to me again, because I'm going to then ask the public once again to tell Zachary,
Do it again.
What? Zach, do you know anything about polo?
I know rich people play it.
I need everyone to tweet at ZacharyJones198 the rules of polo.
Oh, see, that's just going to get me excited, though.
No.
Like, I have a fear of horses, but I'll go watch this.
No, ready? Oh, my God. If you go watch this, I have a show in the archives of this very time slot that I would need to show you.
I feel like I was around for this. I remember the polo conversations. Oh, I just don't remember specifically what happened to me.
It was
so bad.
But,
yeah, I have a fear of horses, but I'll go watch this.
It was so bad.
I'll specifically go to watch Josh's reactions to watching polo. That's what I would go to watch.
It's actually kind of fun.
Josh is now a seasoned vet, though.
Is it soccer but on horses?
No.
What could it be then?
The goalie is on a mini horse.
It has elements.
A pony?
It has elements of soccer. I will say
the ref elements.
The officials ride on zebras.
Yeah,
that
they
can't
do.
Be right.
No,
that
they
cannot
do.
Be right.
They do. That's how the ones at the zoo get exercise.
What do you? That can't be right. That cannot be right.
We're doing it again.
That cannot be right.
No, it is. I'm dead serious.
I'm being lied to.
No, you are. I'm sorry.
I can't absolutely, 1,000%.
Everybody listening, I can only gaslight you.
Oh my god, 1,000%.
The refs ride on
zebras. We started
this
segment about gaslighting. Here I am doing it to Zach.
The refs ride on zebras.
Oh my god.
I actually have my.
Is
my,
the pony thing real though?
No.
Okay, thank goodness.
I have my.
But it was believable, wasn't it?
It was.
From
you
last
have the rules?
Year. Yeah, from last year when I went.
All right, we got to take a quick time out here. I got to touch on this. 803-0550.
Oh, God, we're doing this again.
The number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, along with Josh Schmidt, hanging here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you are worried about Hughes's future, he's your plan B, right? You need a good skating, puck-moving defenseman. And in the long run, if it's not going to be Quinn Hughes, you know, I guess Bowen Byron would look good in that spot. He's obviously not Quinn Hughes, but he still brings that style of game, which clearly you need. Like, if you're going to survive, you need a defenseman who can skate. We know that. We look at every team, you know, that has success in any part of the game now. It's a you have defensemen who can move. And is Byram that guy? I mean, does he have the track? He's certainly clearly an NHL defenseman. Does he have the track record to be the guy? I think so.
NHL reporter Chris Johnston.
Patrick
Johnston. Thank you. Talking about Bo Byram potentially maybe being a replacement for Quinn Hughes.
Oh,
that
you want Bowen Byram?
Aggressive.
Hang on, no, ready? You want Bowen Byram? I'm willing to talk. Okay, you want Bowen Byram? I know that there's an Elias Pettersson that you might want to start over organizationally when it comes to that player. Obviously, I know Bowen Byram alone's not going to get it done, but we could start there. That means conversations between Buffalo and Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I get a non-0% chance at landing Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Reason we played that back, though, is because the Norris Trophy was announced in that last half hour.
Yes.
Cale Makar wins the second time in his career. Very good season for him, although, depending on who you ask,
I feel like
the point totals shouldn't matter. But
the point totals should not matter.
He did play a career high in games, 80, had 30 goals and 92 points.
It is insane. Like, 92 points is kind of cracked.
Yeah, it's kind of insane.
But also Colorado was one of the better teams all throughout the year. He is a defensive presence on that team. He's eating the minutes. So there is something to that. I do still think that Zach Werenski should have won the award because Columbus was relevant because of him.
Werenski also had a great season. Not 81 games played, 82 points, 23 goals. Really, really great season for him.
But also incredible in his own zone. He's going to get his pair... His defensive partner, Dante Fabro, a huge raise, whether it be with Columbus or another team in free agency. Buffalo Sabres, please sign Dante Fabro. Please.
That is one of Derek's big runs at it.
That's a right-handed shot. You don't have any of those on your team. And if you need to trade Bo Byram, for example, from the clip, signing Dante Fabro is effectively replacing and more cheaper, cost-effective version of Bo Byram at that point versus an extension.
Yep. And then Rasmus Dahlin, also on the list, finishing sixth in voting, which is actually a career high for him. Previously, it had been finishing eighth in the 2022-23 season when he did get his current, still career high in points, 73 this year. playing a few less games, 73, had 68 points, and again, finishes sixth in the voting. You do wonder, though, if the Sabres had made the playoffs, where he winds up in the voting. I don't think he wins.
He doesn't win. He's eighth. Like, let's be real about this, but this is the beginning.
Sixth this year.
Oh, no, I'm talking like 2 years ago. When they could have made the playoffs 1 point out, he ends up finishing eighth. But this year, if they made it, it would have been because of him, especially because they went on a 13-game slide and lost all the games that Dahlin was not playing in.
Yeah, that's a shame. You can't do that. Can't do that.
However, if the Sabres do win one or like get to the playoffs, Dahlin becomes a top three candidate in Norris Trophy voting. Like, that is simple as that.
Yeah.
It would have to take a 92-point season from Cale Makar or a player of that sort to stop Dahlin from making it as a Norris Trophy winner if the Sabres make the playoffs, because they will look at it and go, oh my God, the Sabres made the playoffs. Rasmus Dahlin's really good. He was on our voter list at six last year when the team was bad and had a 13-game losing streak.
Well, it'll help, too, that
he's
like,
on our radar.
If they make the playoffs, there's no doubt Dahlin has like one of his better seasons ever. So it'd also be then easy to give him said award.
Or also, it's a standard season where he's now finished eighth and sixth.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
on bad teams.
A standard Sabres season from Dahlin should be good enough, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what Dahlin's doing is good enough that nationally he's being recognized now.
Yeah.
Like, he's sixth on a bad Sabres team this year that was in last place in the Eastern Conference for almost the entirety of the year.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that man got sixth place in Norris Trophy. The minute the Sabres make it, even if it's a normal Dahlin year, say it's 70 points and Buffalo makes the playoffs, I think people know how good he is defensively, too.
Yeah,
I
agree.
If there's a boost, say he gets to like, say he breaks a career high over 73 points.
Yeah, he gets like 75.
But the Norris Trophy is still supposed to be for the best all-around defenseman. Erik Karlsson broke it. Like everyone says, like Cale Makar. No. Erik Karlsson did this first, okay?
Mm.
Like, let's be real.
Did Erik Karlsson have a year where he broke 100 points?
I feel like he...
John Karlsson did.
Yeah.
He had 110 one year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think. Let me double check.
Yeah, if it's 110, make sure about that. Because if you don't win a Norris Trophy winning that with 110 points, that would be...
Oh, yeah. Erik Karlsson did 2022-23. He had 101.
Yep.
Oh. I mean, he's not good defensively, but man, him on the power play. So
yeah, no. Erik Karlsson, or John Karlsson never got 200
points
in his career.
But
and also
I know
has
he won
never
Norris.
Won a Norris Trophy. That's a shame. He finished second in 2020.
How did he not win one?
He finished second in 2020.
That's absurd.
It's tough.
When he had a career high 75 points.
I'm batting 1,000 today. If anyone heard the morning show, I had a
run. Yeah, you're having a tough one.
I'm never going to turn this mic on again.
Buddy.
I didn't want to say anything. I'm sorry.
Buddy, you got to take a nap. Like, I don't
know. Call it a day.
I don't know where I got 110 points from. I could have swore he did that, but apparently not.
Oh, no. Call it a day.
That's why I'm not stats guy.
That's why I'm not stats guy. On the birthday thing, though, by the way, not the same age. Me and Arch Manning, April 27th. Just want to point that out there. I knew. Don't give me the horns down, Joshua. Might win the Heisman this year. Show some respect. Playing Ohio State, by the way, at Ohio State. Week one. I'm pretty excited. Josh, are you excited for that game? Wow.
Excited to watch Texas lose.
Wow. All right. Fair. I was going to go to Polo, but instead we'll go to the Buffalo Bisons, as they did announce.
Talk about Polo anymore.
Max Scherzer is in for a rehab assignment. He is going to be playing on Friday at home against the Columbus Clippers, 6:35. That'll be really exciting. Scherzer is one of the more exciting pitchers in recent MLB history. A lot of fun. Kind of a crazy person. He's sort of known for that competitive juice.
Yep.
But that'll be a real fun guy to go see. Not Guerrero Jr., I understand, but that'd still be a great guy to go see. 6:35 at Salem Field.
Yeah, I think that if you want to see, you know, a big league player like that, should be a good weather day. Like, all week has been pretty much it's going to be this.
Yeah.
So get out to the ballpark and have fun. Enjoy it.
By the way, the Bills having later practice today as well. Not even going to have like a brutal day weather-wise. 70. That's beautiful. Because some of these later practices they'll have in training camp, you're like, I would have done this earlier. It is now 88 degrees outside. What are you doing? Go back inside.
What are you doing?
Go back inside. This is brutal. But no, for them, not too bad. Not too bad at all. 803-0550, the number to call if you'd like to join the show. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. We do, though, have NBA basketball tonight. Few days off. I hate this schedule. I do like that, right. That neither league runs into each other, but like Sunday to Wednesday to travel from OKC to Indianapolis feels a bit aggressive. That feels a bit aggressive.
Yeah.
Especially because there's – and I'm a little frustrated by it, but I've played into it. There's not too much hoopla about this series. You go that long between games, people will just kind of like, oh, it's on? Oh,
considering okay. That both series have a ratings issue right now.
Yeah.
You maybe don't want to have them spaced out this much.
I get it, though, from Edmonton to Florida. That's a lot that of miles.
Well, did you see the right? flip? Did you see the turnaround for game 4 to 5?
No, what is it?
It's one day.
I love that.
There they play go. Tomorrow. Well, there we go. Edmonton and Florida play tomorrow, and then they play again on Saturday in Edmonton.
Oh, wow.
But they have 2 days off between 3 and 4
then it's
in
to
Florida.
Yeah, then it's Saturday to Wednesday, and then Wednesday to Saturday. Well, so right. They do the quick turnaround and then wait a little bit.
Yeah, so it is one quick turnaround, but still, like, come on.
Where NBA plays tonight, they'll play Friday, so that'll be another quick turnaround, then not again until Monday.
I don't understand that one with the lack of travel.
Yeah, that's not much travel. Like, Edmonton, Florida,
let's be entirely
real. We found out from last year, is the longest travel distance between two Stanley Cup final teams.
Let's make something crystal clear here. Nobody's taking a bus. Not with these.
Right. No one's taking a bus.
This isn't the AHL. They're not driving a bus from Oklahoma City to Indianapolis.
This isn't even baseball in the early 1900s when they're like, we all took trains.
No, they're all flying.
They're back there the next day.
Yeah.
Not even that night. They might even be back there.
With that short a distance between Oklahoma City and Indianapolis?
It might be.
It's the same night.
I can also see, though, the NBA Finals kind of being like thankful they're not playing this weekend with the U.S. Open.
Sure.
They may not want to deal with that, again, with the ratings not being great. But they would likely take over after the day ends. Maybe
yes.
8:30. You'd already have people sitting at their TV watching sports going to the next one.
Right. It'd be a great little thing to boost up.
Yeah.
But, you know. All right.
Hope the game is close tonight, though. Sunday's game was not close at all. 123-107. The score does not indicate how close it was. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander scoring 30 again. I was mistaken, though, on Halliburton. I thought he had scored under 15 points in both games. He had 17 on Sunday, but still not really a great performance by him by any means. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Derek, the last time he didn't score 30 points, May 24th at Minnesota, he scored 14. Since then, he has scored 40, 34, 38, 34.
Yeah, you might want to slow him down.
And before that, the 14-point game, he had 38, 31, 35, 32, 31.
Right. It's
just record-breaking kind of numbers.
You've got to make sure you find a way to slow him down. Otherwise, it's going to be a short series, as we all fear.
What is slowing him down? 30?
Get him under 30.
I guess get him under 30.
Get him under 30.
Oh, my goodness.
Because the man's also a facilitator, so you do need to make sure like he's not doing both to you.
Yeah, I mean, his assist totals the other night, 8. 3, 8, 10, 6, 8, 9. Yeah, I mean,
the 3 is your low mark. Like that's
the 3 is the low.
That's
mark.
Hilariously low. I remember the game that they close out Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
He has 6 assists. Minnesota has like 7 points by the time SGA has 6 assists.
Yeah, he's an incredible player. I get frustrated with going to the free throw line as much as he can and does. I mean, he shot 12 free throw shots on Sunday. One of the games with Minnesota, he shot 14.
Right.
You know, I can get very frustrated by that because I don't – free throws in general frustrate me. Don't miss them. They're free baskets, but also don't take too many of them. It slows the game down. It's right. The least exciting thing about basketball. But there's also aspects about SGA that are super fun. His body contorts in ways it shouldn't when he's taking a shot, which is also how he gets a lot of the fouls.
Right.
But you look at some of these numbers, man. I mean, he is just – he's not this super volume scorer. He's an efficient scorer. Doesn't take a ton of threes. But like Luka Doncic, I know Trista Crick has talked about this with Shopin the Bulldog, but when he takes threes, he makes them. You are scared of him like Luka Doncic. It just may be his season total might be like 34%.
Now, much like Edmonton, I feel like Indiana has there's an issue here today. it's almost as must-win can get, even though you're not desperately down in the series.
Yeah, it's not an elimination game.
It's not an elimination game. You have it where, yeah, you should probably get one here. If you lose game three, there is a lot of fear that this could be a short series like everyone feared, because OKC has been the better team all throughout the entirety of the season.
Yeah,
in the
not
even
just the postseason.
So, if you're Indiana, you need to get one here. Also, stand your ground at home. That's important.
That's very important.
Edmonton, for example, they need to win game four. You can't fall 3-1 again on this team.
I think especially, too, that game's tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on TNT and Max. That one you feel, too, because of how dominant Florida felt in game three, 6-2. I mean,
you want a response.
You got to respond.
You were humiliated in every facet of the game. You let them get in your heads after they beat you down on the scoreboard, and it was just a nightmare of a game ever since. You need to make sure that, A, you come back more composed, and B, you come back better.
Yeah, and you're right, too. The idea of falling down 3-1.
And for Indiana, it's the same thing. You cannot let a dominant game like that go unresponded.
For them, they're in a situation, tonight's game three. For them, I think it more comes down to, don't give away the game you took in Oklahoma.
Yes. You
know, they did get the bonus of, hey, the series started, you won a game on the road. Don't give that away the moment the series goes to Indiana.
Yeah, you cannot let this get away from you. Both teams.
Yeah. Oklahoma City, a 5.5-point favorite tonight. I would probably take OKC and the points there.
I'm gonna pick with my heart. I'm going with the Pacers. I want this to be a long series.
803-0550 is the number to call. Going to take a quick timeout. Get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer, you're listening to WGR.
Don't forget, Friday Foursome with Encore Golf is back. You ready to tee it up for free every Friday? We are giving away a foursome at one of our favorite nearby fairways: Seneca Hickory Stick Golf, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, or Royal Niagara Golf Club. Plus, of course, a box of Encore golf balls, a $25 Encore gift card, as well in the giveaway. Enter now through August 21st at WGR550.com for your shot at the pin. Absolutely try to make sure you get that done for this Friday, by the way. It's nice out all week. It's awesome. Then when you're done, go to the ballpark, watch Max Scherzer pitch. You got a whole day out of it.
And throughout that, you have the U.S. Open at Oakmont. I should have visited that. I was just in Pittsburgh, Derek. Look at me not, keeping up on the golf schedule and checking, is there anything going on around here? I mean, it never would have hit me, but I should have known the schedule before.
Honestly?
Me and the girlfriend could have made a quick stop. Instead of IKEA, we could have gone to Oakmont.
First of all, that story's worth it already.
IKEA was fun.
No, you made the right decisions.
IKEA was fun. No one really prepares you for that story either.
No.
No one really prepares for, the meatballs are great, but, honestly, walking around with all the furniture, kind of a good time. Kind of a good time. It is not the store, though, that you can walk around if you're someone that, I like to go to the mall or certain stores and get my steps in and just, get moving, especially during the winter. It is not the store to do that, go walk around. Dude, you will buy things.
Is it because it's cheap?
It's not actually cheap. Everything is there. Anything you have needs for your house, it's there. So you'll show up and you're like, I mean, I don't need any more utensils or anything like that. But they're there and they're kind of cool. I don't need a new bookshelf, but it's
here. I'm absolutely not the person for this.
No, I think most people are not the kind of person to walk through IKEA and not immediately leave going, okay, well, I've spent too much money. I'm going to have to tell the husband or wife and prepare to get yelled at.
If anyone can tell, I'm impulsive.
Yeah.
Terrible. The self-control, some days it's great. Some days it's just not. I'm the worst person.
I was having a tough time with it, too. I was some of the stuff looks nice. And then the stands they have, kind of showing you how, a room could look with all the furniture in there.
Right.
Oh, I'm walking through all of them. I'm looking at it. I'm like, I would do this instead of that. I'm not even a big home person. I'll watch, the designer shows because they're kind of entertaining to hear people go, my budget's $400,000 and I make arts and crafts for a living. And you're like, excuse me? What do you mean? My job is...
The former banker in me is, cringing at that thought. But you know what else we're cringing at? I'm also cringing at the thought that we're done for today.
Yeah.
Sabres Live is going to be coming up next. We'll see what they've got with in terms of Rasmus Dahlin finishing sixth in the Norris Trophy voting. That's coming up next, though, here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.